This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 183. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Aquaman sees his doctor, Barry needs a doctor stat, JL Dark and Teen Titans assemble, and the cadre's backstory begins. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, November 27th, 2011. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs. And you can subscribe via iTunes, where we would love it if you would leave us a review.
And you can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. A lot of stuff this week, so let's move right on to Aquaman number 3 by Johns and Rice. There's some really nice artwork on page 1. It's like a flashback, and it's a painted effect. I don't know if it's actually painted or not.
Aren't there a couple of those through the book, or is that the only one?
I think that's the only point in this issue, but I think as they do these flashbacks, they keep going back to this painted effect. So Arthur and Mira are continuing to fight the cannibal fishmen, for lack of a better term. Arthur's telepathy doesn't work on them, but they do manage to fight them back into the sea. And as been the case throughout all this series so far, Arthur still gets no respect. The cops are saying, you know, we'll handle it from here. We'll tell the media that you did a good job, and we'll put you in a good light for once.
Yeah. Makes you feel kind of bad for Aquaman, but I think that's the point here.
I think
that's what Jeff's trying to do.
Exactly. So Arthur takes a captive fishman to a mysterious Dr. Shin.
Isn't it a dead fish man?
Oh, I guess he's dead, yeah.
Okay.
Captive dead fish man. So we learn a little bit about Dr. Shin, that Arthur knew him as a child, and apparently this guy helped Arthur train his abilities, and yet Arthur would never tell him where Atlantis was, and that's where there was a schism between the two of them.
Well, apparently he even went so far as to do bad things to Arthur.
Right.
That's the impression I got.
Yeah. So he has Shin examine the body, but he won't let Shin keep it and won't tell him again where Atlantis is. And this is foreshadowing if I ever saw it.
Yeah, really.
Gee, I wonder if we'll see this character again.
Yeah.
And in the end, Arthur and Mira go off to the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, where Shin told them this is where these creatures are from. I'm still enjoying this title, but I do hope they wrap up this first storyline soon and move on. Because, again, they're doing a lot of really tantalizing things in here about this Dr. Shin and new concepts for the character I really want to see.
Yeah, I don't mind this storyline so far. This is one of the books I like better out of the new 52. I still think they should have more story per book.
Yes.
But that just seems to be a facet of the new 52. We're not going to get a lot of story per book.
That's the thing I wanted to bring up, is that there's a preview of this new Ray miniseries coming up. And it's okay, I suppose, for it to be in the $3.99 titles, but if to be in the $2.99 titles, you do kind of read this story and it's like, oh, and it's over.
Yeah. Now, is it cutting down on, is that preview making the story shorter?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, that's just very frustrating. And I'm almost to the point where I would rather just wait and pick up trades than floppy, so I don't have to put up with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I'm starting to lean that way as well. The Flash number 3 by Manipal and Bucciolato, I guess they pronounce it. Barry is still trying to figure out his new mind speed powers, where he can speed up his brain and he can see all potential angles and the best possible solution. He can move in very quickly. And we hear more about how he learned about his powers. He talks about, or he's thinking about, how he learned how to vibrate through walls. That it had to do with coffee.
Yes.
that he had too much coffee one time, and he's in the office, and it's late at night, and he inadvertently vibrates through the floor all the way down to the women's locker room. We learn more about Mob Rule, who's now based on this Army Super Soldier project. And, of course, those never go well unless you happen to be Steve Rogers. We get a glimpse of Leonard Snart, of course, Captain Cold, at Iron Heights. Barry is crisscrossing the powerless city, in fact, both cities, saving lives. Cops are getting around on horses because there's been this EMP that has hit the whole city. Patty finds out where Barry's friend, who is actually Mob Rule, is, and they go to save him, but they're found out. And Barry thinks he can use his mind speed powers to get out of it, but somehow he gets kind of lost in all the potential options, and he gets shot in the head instead. So...
this is the end of Barry! Yep.
Last issue, the end. No. The gorgeous artwork in here continues. Manipole is really blowing it out of the park on this. Very impressive. And to consider that he's doing the artwork and the story is even more impressive.
Yes.
Justice League Dark, number 3, by Milligan and Janin. This is really becoming more of a team now. It really goes back to the classic Justice League paradigm, which is... one or two heroes get together, they're fighting something, and another couple heroes are fighting something else, and then they team up in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So we have teams of Constantine and Zatanna, and Deadman and June Moon, was the alter ego of Enchantress, but now they're two separate beings. And,
for now.
Right. And meanwhile, Shade the Changing Man keeps trying to recruit others, and he's searching for Mind Warp, who... I don't frankly remember as a character. Maybe this is a new character. I'm not sure. This is all a very intriguing story. And frankly, it would be a Vertigo title if DC had allowed it.
Well, if any of the DC characters were still in the Vertigo universe.
Exactly. This is one of these that really should have been a Vertigo title.
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, more story.
Would be nice. Teen Titans number 3 by Lobdell and Booth. Another book where a team is coming together, and we also see separate sub-teams coming together. Kid Flash is saving Solstice from the group from nowhere. A goofy concept. And Red Robin and Skitter are on a train going cross-country, and they run into Bunker, and he's a brand new hero. And he's another gay hero, because apparently gay is the new black at DC Comics. So Bunker is rather flamboyant, really more of a stereotype.
When they run into each other on the train, you think it's going to be a case of heroes fighting, but they work that out pretty quickly.
Right.
You know, whenever two heroes meet,
yes,
they first have
they
to fight. But they pretty quickly realize they weren't at odds with each other.
Right. And then Red Robin runs into Detrius, another new villain, who's this scrap of cybernetic stuff that gained intelligence, and he wipes Tim's mind of their actual encounter.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. So it looks like the whole team is going to join up in the next issue, at least if the little blurb at the end can be believed.
So are you feeling any better about this comic?
I am. Now, we'll see what happens when they all get together and they fight Superboy, which is what's supposed to happen in the next issue. And now we'll see if this whole cross-title thing works between Superboy and Teen Titans.
Right.
Unwritten, number 31.5, by Kerry, Gross, Kaluta, Geary, and Talbot.
Now, see, I just missed that this was one of the 0.5 issues.
Yeah, I like what they're doing here, kind of giving some more backstory, but I really hate the 0.5 thing. That's just silly. I'm sorry.
Well, what would you have them do? Do it as a miniseries?
No,
or,
just...
or as a regular issue?
Just as a regular issue. Lots of titles have done, we're going to go bi-weekly for a while.
I suppose that's true. But this sort of says, okay, we're not part of the main storyline.
I suppose. So we're getting the beginning of the backstory of the Cadre, the group that's been controlling all these things, and apparently has been controlling media and the society since the beginning of civilization.
Since the second century China.
Right.
I don't know.
Because that's where it starts. There's three different stories. Different artists do them. Second century China, the emperor has all the scrolls of fiction destroyed.
Well, I think it was even scrolls of philosophers and things that he didn't agree with.
Yeah, anything that wasn't fact, having this, it all burned and destroyed. And then there's a story in late 19th century New York where this political cartoonist is forced to burn his work because he's figured it out. He's figured out about this secret organization. And then we jump back to 15th century Germany, where this bishop in the middle of the Crusades, he stops Gutenberg because Gutenberg went past just printing Bibles and printing other things. But the word gets out anyway because Gutenberg sends some of his
apprentices and workers who have the knowledge
of how to build the printing press out. And this is how the information gets out anyway. But as we learn in the end, the real story starts much earlier. And we're going to learn in apparently 32.5 what much earlier means. Really enjoying this, the idea, again, that words are important and that books are important and somehow they can control society with words.
Mm-hmm.
And in the main storyline that will continue on, Tommy Taylor is having his war of words.
Right.
So, really enjoying this title. Wanted to also mention, last week we had a lightning round for the pull list, and based on that, we've dropped 7 more titles from the New 52. Want to talk about that for a second. The first 3, Batman Dark Knight, Batwoman, and Detective. Maybe you see a theme here.
Yeah, Mindy hates Batman.
Well, there are way too many Bat books. And Batwoman is gorgeous in terms of the artwork. There's no question, but it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. The Batman Dark Knight title, I know I have to like, okay, now what was going on the last issue? Or was that Detective? Or was that Batman? Or was that Batman and Robin? That's too much. And the same reason for Detective. The only title that I'm really, truly interested in the Batman series is the Batman title itself. And that's the Scott Snyder stuff. And that's really great. I'm really enjoying that.
Well, and it is still possible that one could go back and pick these up as trades and take a look at them.
Absolutely.
And it might be easier to read some of these Bat stories as trades because, that you know, you do get confused about where you are when you're reading and a month later you read the next installment. So.
Right. And the other 4 we dropped are team titles. Green Lantern Corps, Legion of Superheroes, Red Hood and the Outlaws, and Suicide Squad. Now, the first one, Green Lantern Corps, is interesting because from what I've read, that's the best-selling of the 3 Green Lantern titles. I'm not really sure why, because I don't think it's as interesting a story.
Well, maybe it's just because, oh, I have no clue.
Yeah. Legion of Superheroes, it's really just more of the same. They're really not growing the characters at all. It just seems like Paul Levitz maybe doesn't understand how to write a modern story. He hasn't written for a long time. They're certainly just chock full of Legion lore, no question of that. But it's just like, okay, did you just photocopy something from the 80s? Red Hood and the Outlaws, that one we've talked about quite a bit. But we just felt that the storyline was going in a different direction. I was really expecting to see outlaws and out there doing stuff and not this fighting this mystical thing that goes back to Jason's history.
Yeah, I don't like Jason that much.
Yeah, maybe another title we might come back to later. And then Suicide Squad, the characters aren't nearly as interesting. I like this title better when it was Secret Six.
Yes. And I think that was my problem with it was I miss Secret Six too much.
Right. Before we get out of here, I think it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Okay, Mark, we're going to play Guess Who's on the Cover of Entertainment Weekly. Woohoo! Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, go.
TV related?
No.
Movie related?
Yes.
Movie that hasn't come out yet?
No.
A movie that has already come out?
Sort of.
Is it one movie referenced on the cover? Is it one actor on the cover? Is it a list issue?
Sort of.
Is it a preview issue?
No.
Okay, so it's not like a seasonal preview.
That's correct.
And it's not a list. Are there multiple people on the cover?
Yes.
Are there many people on the cover?
Yes.
Okay. So, but it's not a list. It's a... Is there a theme to all the characters? All the people? Are all the people on the cover human?
Yes.
Is it just a smattering of, I mean, there's not like young actors or older actors?
That's correct.
Okay. And it's not a preview and it's not a list. So it's, okay, we'll go for the theme. Are they all in the same kind of movies?
No.
Shoot. Is it all genre related?
No.
Is it not related to the Oscars, is it?
No.
And are all the movies already out?
Yes.
So are we retelling a particular time period?
No.
Oh, man.
This is a hard one.
This is. Not a time period. Not all the same type of movie. Is it like great performances in movies?
It would be the opposite of
terrible. Terrible movies.
You're
close. Or terrible performances in movies.
Okay, I might give that to you.
Wow.
Stars' worst movies. So you almost got there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it has all the big stars and what their worst movies were.
Okay.
I don't know that I've seen them do that before.
No, they haven't.
Of course, that wouldn't be something you could do all the time.
Right. All right. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including Mindy's Comic A Day blog and my blog where I'm talking about the Star Trek animated series. You can subscribe via iTunes and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.